Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what the Bible says it is, what it includes, how it affects your life. I've already spent 2 days this week talking about this, establishing that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate experience from being born again. It doesn't have to be separated by a large length of time, but it is a separate experience. And I've already shared this. I know that many of the things I'm saying go against a large segment of the body of Christ, especially the fundamentalist evangelicals. Reject the baptism of the Holy Spirit as being a separate experience, and they also reject the gift of speaking in tongues, which is just one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I've already spent a lot of time on this. I know that there is a, I don't know what the proper word is, but there is a resistance, a backlash, a disbelief of what I'm saying, but I've based it on Scripture, and if I believe that if you would have watched the two previous days, it should have made my case and should have if you believe the Bible, won you over to that. If this is the first program that you've seen, I encourage you to please get these materials. These materials, this book that I'm offering, goes into a lot more detail. It deals with just a lot of questions or criticisms that people have against the baptism of the Holy Spirit as being a separate experience and the gift of speaking in tongues. And so I encourage you to get the book or to get the previous programs. They're all archived on our website. Let me turn over to Acts chapter 2. I've already used John chapter 20 and Acts chapter 1 to show that Jesus breathed on them, said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But then, right after that, He told them, "Tarry until you be baptized in the Holy Spirit." There's a difference between having the Holy Spirit with you through salvation and having being baptized in the Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about in Acts chapter 1. So in Acts chapter 2 is where the fulfillment of this came to pass. Let me just back up for a second and share another thing. Acts 1:4, Jesus, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, "Ye have heard of Me, for John truly baptized with the water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, this is something that people who do believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, I believe that they often make a mistake here, because among some of the Pentecostal Spirit-filled groups, they will teach that you have to tarry for the Holy Spirit. And I've actually met people before that have tarried for 20 and 30 years, have been asking and seeking God. And it's because of this Scripture that says, wait for the promise of the Father and don't leave Jerusalem. And people have taken that and thought that you just have to tarry, and it's up to God when He fills you with the Holy Spirit, that you can't find the faucet, you can't turn it on, you just plead, and then God, when He's ready, fills you with the Holy Spirit, and it's just totally at the decision of the Lord. Well, my answer to that is, this instruction says, tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem. If you are going to take this literally, that you have to tarry to receive the Holy Spirit, then to fulfill this verse, you would have to go to Jerusalem and wait. I don't believe that that's applicable to us at all. This was before the Holy Spirit was poured out. In Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit came, Peter was preaching to the people, and he said, "This promise is unto you and unto your children and unto them afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And that's talking about you and me. And the time had come. After the day of Pentecost, you do not have to just tarry and wait on the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit is wanting to fill you more than you want to be filled. So you don't have to beg, you don't have to plead, you don't have to tarry, you don't have to wait. It's not like you are just in the back seat saying whatever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want to go. No, you are in the driver's seat on this. If you pursue the baptism of the Holy Spirit and desire these gifts, which the Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, tells us to desire earnestly spiritual gifts. If you pursue it, you'll get it. If you don't, you won't. If you tarry, you will just do without. And so that is a misconception. You can receive the Holy Spirit at any time. I've had people counter me when I say stuff like this and say, so you're just saying that you can pray in tongues, you can just turn on the Holy Spirit and turn Him off, that you, God is just at your whim, and anytime you want to speak in tongues, you can speak in tongues. I do believe that I can pray in tongues at any time, but it's not because I'm turning the Holy Spirit on and off. The Holy Spirit is always on. It's me that's on and off. And right now, it's not benefiting anybody if I speak in tongues. So I'm not going to speak in tongues over, you know, worldwide television. But I could if I chose to. I can do it. And the Holy Spirit is always giving me this unction, this inspiration to pray in tongues. I can pray in tongues anytime, all of the time, if I want to. It's not me controlling the Holy Spirit. It's like a motor. It's like a dynamo that's running all of the time. This power is always there. And whenever I want to plug into it, that juice will flow. This anointing will flow. The gift of the Holy Spirit will flow. I do not have to tarry. The Holy Spirit has come on the day of Pentecost, and we don't tarry anymore. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, there's a number of things I want to say about this. First of all, I've had some people who are really antagonistic to this gift of speaking in tongues. They say, well, if you believe in speaking in tongues, why don't you have a cloven tongue of fire? That's what the Bible says, and that's the way that it happened. Here's my answer to that. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 9, this is where the tabernacle was dedicated. Moses was given these instructions. He built the tabernacle. They dedicated it. They made a sacrifice. They laid it on the altar, and Moses prayed, and fire fell and consumed the first house that God had built. And He said He would dwell there in that Holy of Holies. And when He did, fire fell. And it was a supernatural fire. But after that fire fell, they had to keep the fire going. It's not like God consumed every sacrifice they put on there afterwards. But the original sacrifice was fire falling. You can read this in Leviticus chapter 9. And then in chapter 10, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, offered strange fire. For many years, I wasn't sure what strange fire meant. And I was confused because when they offered strange fire, the anger of the Lord came upon him, and he killed Nadab and Abihu, and they died right there. They were priests, but they were offering strange fire. If you take it in context, just back up to the previous verses in Leviticus chapter 9, the strange fire, God had sent fire from heaven to start that sacrificial system. After that, they were supposed to put wood on it. They kept the fire going, and they were never supposed to let this fire go out. But Nadab and Abihu put strange fire, fire that didn't fall from heaven. They just put a natural fire, a man-made fire on there, and God struck them dead. Then when the second tabernacle, or it was called the temple, was dedicated, this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Solomon built the temple and put the sacrifice there. He offered many, many sacrifices, and he prayed and dedicated the temple to the Lord. And again, the fire of God fell from heaven, a supernatural fire. Nobody started it. God started the sacrifice, the fire to burn all of those sacrifices. It came from God. And again, they were commanded to keep the fire going by putting wood on it, but they couldn't offer strange fire. Well, here in Acts chapter 2, now, God no longer dwells in temples, tabernacles that are made by man's hands, but we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. It says that 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, somewhere around there. It says it twice. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so God now indwells us. And when He came and indwelt our temple, this is when the Holy Spirit began to fill and dwell in these temples, our bodies, fire fell from heaven again. But just like in the Old Testament, God sent the initial fire, and then after that, they had to keep that fire going by I guess in a sense, natural means. They had to put wood on it, but it was a supernatural kindling of this fire. But it only happened once. And the only other time it happened was when they tore down the tabernacle and built a physical temple, and God sent fire again. Now, here is where the fire of God fell upon these people. And the initial time that it happened, there were cloven tongues of fire on their head. It fulfilled the prophecy of John. It fulfilled all of these Old Testament types, and it was done that first time. But now, this fire of the Holy Spirit is burning in our hearts, and it continues. You do not have to have a cloven tongue of fire upon your head any more than you had that call every day in the Old Testament for a supernatural fire to fall from heaven. You just kept the fire that God had given burning. So anyway, some people say, if speaking in tongues is really of God, why don't you have a cloven tongue of fire? Well, if you listened, that's an answer right there. And there is an Old Testament precedent. This is exactly the fulfillment of the Old Testament types and stuff, and that's the reason you don't have a physical cloven tongue of fire on your head anymore. But they did the very first time. Then other people will say, well, these were known languages. And I'll grant you that when they spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost, these were languages that people understood. I do have some question whether the disciples actually spoke in other people's languages or if God anointed their ears to hear it in their own language. Because the way it says it here, we do hear in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. That's verse 11. And the emphasis is that they hear. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. I'm not sure that it was them speaking in those languages or whether it was the people hearing what they were saying in their languages. But either way, it was supernatural, and it was known languages. But over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or God's kind of love, it profits me nothing. That verse makes it very clear that there are different types of speaking in tongues. There is a gift of speaking in tongues that is a known language. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost, and there are scriptural examples of that happening other times. And I've heard examples of people saying that, somebody has just supernaturally spoken in another tongue. A friend of mine, I forget all of the details, so I won't try and be specific, but they were in a church service and a person got up and gave a tongue, and there was a person there who didn't believe in that. They thought that stuff was of the devil, but they had been in a foreign country and they heard the prophecy, they heard this speaking in tongues, and it was this language that they knew from some place in Africa, and this person was just praising God and saying all of these wonderful things, and it was a confirmation of that person. That person actually stood up and told the whole crowd what they had said, and it was in a known language. Either they spoke that known language or they heard it in that known language. So I believe that those things can happen. But according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there is a speaking in known languages, the tongues of men, and also the tongues of angels. It makes it very clear that there is a speaking in tongues that is an unknown language. And I'm not going to take all of the time, but if you go study 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about that when you speak in tongues, no man understands you. Now, if that was the same speaking in tongues that was done right here in Acts chapter 2, somebody would understand them because it's a known language. You can speak in tongues, be in a known language, but the vast majority of speaking in tongues that we do is just for personal edification and relationship with God, and it's not a known language, it's the tongues of angels. And so the Scripture makes that clear. Some people will sit there and say, well, if you believe in speaking in tongues, you've got to be able to speak in a known language. And that's not true. I've also heard some people say that this is the ability to learn other languages. Some people just have a talent for speaking in other languages. Man, I don't. I don't even speak English that well. I just speak Texan. And I've gone to Germany and tried to say sehr gut. And every time I say it, people mock me and make fun. I don't know. I just don't seem to have the ability to do that. And some people do. And some people say, well, that's the gift of speaking in tongues. This wasn't an aptitude to learn a language. These people immediately just spoke fluently in known languages. This isn't a talent, a aptitude. This is a supernatural gift. And so the people that say speaking in tongues is the ability to learn a language quickly and have good command of it, that is not true. That's not what this is talking about. Now, God could be involved in that. God could, you know, that could be a talent, a gift that God has given somebody, but it's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. These people were speaking in languages that they had never learned, they had never practiced, and yet it says that they were speaking at the wonderful works of God and they were praising God. And this happened on the day of Pentecost. And some people will even come out and say, well, not everybody speaks in tongues. Let me turn over and use another verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God said in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, after that teachers, then gifts of miracles. And it says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Do all speak with tongues? And the answer to all of those questions are no. Obviously, not everybody is a prophet, not everybody is an apostle, and not everybody speaks in tongues. So some people have taken that passage right there and have said, see, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the obvious answer is no. And I agree with that. But this is talking about a gift of speaking in tongues that is a gift that operates in the church. The best way I can relate this, like right here in this very context, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 29, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. And yet the Scripture says that every one of us is supposed to be ready to give an answer. We're supposed to be apt to teach and all of these kind of things. Every one of us is supposed to teach other people, make disciples, go into all the world and make disciples. We are supposed to teach. But there is a difference between just Joe Blow Christian who teaches other people what they know and somebody who's called to a gift of teaching. You know, I have a gift of teaching. God has supernaturally touched my life. And I know some of you don't agree with that, and that's fine, but I know that God has given me a gift to teach and to explain things. A preacher proclaims, a teacher explains, and it's just a supernatural gift. I didn't have it before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't have told you anything. And now God has given me an ability to communicate and teach. I've got a gift of teaching. And it differs from just Joe Blow Christian. This is my ministry gift. It's my calling. It's my vocation. It's what God has anointed me to do. And is everybody called to do what I'm doing? No. But is every Christian called to teach? Yes. You are supposed to be teaching other people, but you may not have a gift of teaching. Is every single person supposed to prophesy? It says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that you may all prophesy one by one. Every single person can prophesy, but that doesn't make you a prophet. Just because you prophesy doesn't make you a prophet. There is a difference between the ministry of a prophet and a simple prophecy where you just say, God is here, God loves us, God hears and answers our praise and worship. That is a simple gift of prophecy, and any member of the body of Christ can do that. But there are people that are called to be a prophet. Likewise, this is talking about a gift of speaking in tongues that operates in the church. I know some people that this is just a gifting that they were given. Just like I'm gifted to teach, there are some people that are gifted to speak in tongues and to interpret tongues. So not everybody is called to that. Not everybody is going to have this ministry gift that stands in front of the church and speaks in tongues, but every one of us can and should pray in tongues. I hope that explains something for you, but some people have tried to say that not everybody is supposed to speak in tongues, and they will misuse those verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but it's talking about that may not be your ministry gift. In the same way that every one of us is supposed to teach other people and share our faith, but you may not be called to the vocation of being a teacher. Likewise, every one of us is supposed to pray in tongues and build ourselves up and edify ourselves on our most holy faith, but you may not have the gift of speaking in tongues that operates in a church assembly. Those are two different things. So it says here in Acts chapter 2 that these cloven tongues of fire came upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. You know, I'm not going to have time on today's program to go into this completely, but let me just say this and I'll continue it tomorrow. But here is the number one reason that hindered me from speaking in tongues for a long time, because I thought that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon me and force me to speak in tongues. This is a crude example, but I know that everybody can relate to what I'm talking about, but I thought that speaking in tongues was going to be like when you threw up, that you could just put your hand over your mouth, do whatever, and you couldn't stop it. It was just going to come out. And that's the way that I thought that the Holy Spirit just took possession and forced you to speak in tongues. And as long as I thought that, I didn't speak in tongues, even though I desired it. I was praying for it. I was waiting on it. But it didn't happen because the Holy Spirit doesn't force you to speak in tongues. Just like this says, they spoke with tongues. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. They spoke with tongues. These people spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance or the inspiration. The Holy Spirit inspires it, but He doesn't force you to speak in tongues. Now that is one huge concept. And this is one of the major things, lack of understanding that kept me from speaking in tongues for a long, long time. So we're about out of time today, but I will continue this on our program tomorrow. Let me just say that I have this book entitled The New You and the Holy Spirit. And this talks about what true salvation is and also about this baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. It'll go into more detail than what I'm able to do here. So I encourage you to please get this. We have a suggested donation, but we'll give it to you for any amount. And especially if you are calling and having someone pray with you, and if you're just now receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, we'll send this to you as a gift. We want to help establish you and help you to understand what's going on. So listen to our announcer as he gives you this information about not only this book, but all of these other materials. And please call or write today and then join me again tomorrow as we continue to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues.
Andrew's four-part teaching titled The New You and the Holy Spirit is available on CD or DVD as seen on TV. The DVDs were made from the original five-week broadcast. The teaching is also available in book form in either English or Spanish. Each is available for a gift of any amount. In addition, this teaching is available in a companion study guide. Not only is the entire teaching included in the study guide, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CD. This valuable resource is available for a gift of $35 or more. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can receive the new you and the Holy Spirit. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Lessons from David for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember, you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
The ministry of Andrew Womack and Charis Bible College provide a place where husbands and wives discover new dimensions in their relationship with God.
My life changed. My relationship with God changed dramatically.
I saw that there was more to Christianity than what I was experiencing.
You just sit and soak under that teaching, and it just begins to do that effortless change that Andrew always talks about.
Experience of victory. It's just like the way I want to live my life.
When I graduated, God was no longer locked in Scripture.
The biggest change I see is a freedom to love God and to know I'm loved.
At Charis Bible College, the Word comes alive. Relationship with God is given the highest place, and lives are transformed forever. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College, changing lives and changing the world.
I'd like to encourage you to call in and request the materials that we talked about today, but also our ministers there will not only give you the materials and order that for you over the phone, but they can also pray with you. And I know that God is speaking to many, many people, and you may have had the Lord touch you today. And if you just need somebody to touch and agree with you, the Scripture says, if any two of you agree touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father. So we have these people, I mean powerful people who love God and are equipped in the Word of God. They're there to pray with you and help you. The number is 719-635-1111. That's 719-635-1111.
The ministry of Andrew Womack and Charis Bible College work hand in hand to provide a place where believers can apply God's Word and witness miraculous results.
What we've discovered is that so much of the church today does not believe that it is God's will to heal. Or they believe that sometimes God can heal, but they never really know when that time is.
A big part of what we do at Healing School, what we're really passionate about, is training up believers that they can do the works and greater works of Jesus, that it's nothing special, that we're not the super dupers.
So we wanted to provide an atmosphere for people to be able to come and jump into the Word of God and find out what God's Word really says about healing. A lot of people come seeking a healing, but when they get their eyes on the healer and get that priority straightened out, it's like seeking first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. It's amazing what begins to happen in terms of a heart priority when people begin to seek the Lord first.
That's why it's a school of healing, because our students are learning to be ministers. It's Jesus that's in them that heals people. They too can heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons. We see people receive their healing online through watching the live feed, through watching the archives. Man, that just blows me away. I mean, the anointing's there. Our heart is for our students not to just keep what they've learned through the healing school training in healing school, but to take it out on the streets. They see awesome healings.
It's the students who have been trained and raised up as disciples, which has been Andrew's heart for all these years.
To learn more about Healing School, go to charisbiblecollege.org and click on the Healing School tab. The Healing School is another example of how the media ministry of Andrew Womack and the campus ministry of Charis Bible College work hand in hand. Together, they provide a place where believers can apply God's Word and witness miraculous results. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College. Changing lives, changing the world.
Want to find out what's going on behind the scenes at Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College? Check out the inside story. Simply log on to awmi.net. Look to the upper right-hand corner of the homepage and click on the inside story.